to Psalm 119, verse 97. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 97. Need a bigger pulpit. Not taller, just wider. I try not to stay back here too much. All right. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the love of Jesus. We thank you that we are born from above and that we are born through the word and washed clean through the word that you have spoken to us, spoken over us, even as Jesus said in the at the Last Supper, that you are all clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So, Father, we thank you that the word of God cleanses us, and as we have as we're reading through Psalm 119, that your word is preeminent and predominant in this psalm. So we thank you that we are learning. That, and having put on the inside of us those things which are helpful and necessary for our growth in the kingdom of God. And we thank you that you gave us your word. You provided your word. And Father, we give you glory and thank you that you presented it and brought it to us and gave it in every way. Father, we thank you for the 500 years now that we have had the word able to be printed, and then in the recent days to have a Bible in the hands of every man, woman, and child. Father, that it's easy to get the Word of God. It's easy to get the Word of God into the hands of the people. So we thank you that the Word of God, even though it seems that evil has gotten greater, we thank you that your Word has gotten greater. The Word of God abounds in ways that it has never abounded before in the world. Father, we thank you that it's in print. We thank you that it's in video. We thank you that it's in digital form. We thank you that anybody, anywhere can have access to the Word of God. We pray for those who are in various parts of the world who, even with all these opportunities and options, they are prevented from receiving the benefit of the Word of God because of their government. And Father, we pray, or because of religious persecution. And Father, we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus that you will open the door and make a way for the Word of God to be accessible so that when people hear the Word of God, they believe. And that when they believe, they receive the kingdom of heaven into their hearts. You said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And that the Word of God goes forth throughout all the earth to declare the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through faith in His name. And we just give you all the praise and thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now this psalm is written by David. And again, it's a psalm that as we read through it, this particular psalm is 176 verses. It's broken into eight verse stanzas. There's 22 of them. According to the Hebrew Bible letters, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew or in the Hebrew language, and this particular psalm is broken up into 22 sections with 8 verse stanzas. It makes it easy to read. Maybe you could read it read a stanza throughout the month. There's about 22 working days in a month, I've calculated. There's 20, if you count 4 weeks, that's 5 days a week. and then an extra day or two or three. And you could actually use this as part of your devotional, so it would bring to your mind what the Word of God does to help you and to change you and to bless you. Many of you have read the Proverbs through 31 chapters in the Proverbs, and you've read those through on a monthly devotional basis. Others have taken the book of Psalms, and at 150 have read it through twice in the year as a devotional practice. And so I would just give you another option that I believe would be beneficial to you is maybe on your 5 days a week on your Monday through Friday reading through Psalm 119, and just give yourself a dose of the encouragement to read the Word of God and what the Word of God does, because it'll change you. Amen. It tells you what the Word of God does. The Word of God encompasses the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Word of God has come to us. Now you may say, well, the Word of God has only been even published and printed as we have seen it for the last 500 years. How did it come down to us? By the Holy Ghost. Amen? It came down to you by the Holy Ghost. God didn't quit in 2,000 years ago. He didn't quit in 200. He didn't quit in 300. He didn't quit, you know, all the way through the Middle Ages. He didn't quit speaking. He didn't quit. He speaks by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Scripture says that the Word of God was given unto us by His prophets and those who have heard by the Holy Spirit. So this Word of God is brought down to you, and you receive it and you read it and you thank God for it and hear by the Holy Ghost. How did people get taught in the early church? They did. They heard the Holy Ghost. Amen? They didn't have a Bible like you and I have. But these books were written, and they were written down, and the Holy Spirit put them together in such a means that we have them today. And over the test of time, we have seen the gospel preached and the power of God move over all the earth. The gospel is going forth louder and stronger than at any time in history today, more than ever before. The gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does the Scripture say? Where evil abounded, grace, where sin abounded, grace did abound. Much more grace did abound. So today, the grace is abounding. More people are getting born again than ever before. In China, in Iran, the Word of God is going forth in power. Amen? And so, we don't just need the Word of God in places where it's never been heard before. We need the Word of God on the inside of us. Amen? Because we'll look at ourselves in the mirror and we'll say, "My goodness, how come I'm not further along? How come I'm not further along than I am?" Because the enemy will always bring that thought to you. The enemy will always come in and put doubt in your heart, put doubt in your mind, and cause you to spend time worrying and to spend time in guilt or condemnation. And that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring guilt and condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction and joy and thanksgiving. Thank God that I've been born from above. Thank God that He's revealing to me my sin and He's taking it all out from one degree of glory to the next. I'm being transformed and changed from one degree of glory to the next. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm excited. I'm happy. I know that God is working in me. I know that, and it's not because I can tick off the things that I've done or have, or I can tick off the things that I neglected to do or forgot to do or didn't do or didn't have enough gumption to do. Every day, I just confess and say, "Father, I thank You that You love me, and I thank You that there is nothing that shall by any means hurt me, and that You're growing me up, and You're growing me into what You have designed for me to be." And I want every one of you, old and young. Amen? You know, you may say, I mean, you know, I'm old. I got gray hair to prove it. You know, I'm grayer than most of you. Praise the Lord. Except for Tony. You know. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good, though. He loves me. And I'm not afraid because I got plenty of time. Amen?
Amen.
I got plenty of time. Hallelujah. God is just doing mighty, mighty things. Let's look at the Word of God. Ever say mem? Mem. Mem. M-E-M. How many of you got a Bible with the Hebrew letters above the sections in Psalm 119? All right. How many don't have those? How many don't have them? How many not looking at a Bible at all? How many left your Bible at home? Praise the Lord. Bring your Bible. Well, sometimes they don't get to the script. Bring your Bible. It's good for you. It's good. If nothing else, it's good for you to, you know, bring it. You know, you can use it as a dumbbell. I guess that's a bad. Analogy. Make the devil mad, bring your Bible. There you go. Amen. Yeah, he never knows. I mean, just, you know, it's like open carry, right? You know, just bring your Bible. I mean, people, you know, are weirded out by people who open carry. We got people down at the SREC, the State Republican Executive Committee, who open carry. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Democratic Executive Committee has some people who open carry. I just can't imagine that they wouldn't. They'd just think it'd be great. I said, man, y'all ought to be Republicans. They have that open carry. You know, of course, you know, we've got the concealed carry, as I'm showing you here. And then you've got open carry. Well, you can open carry your Bible, you know.
Yay.
I think people might be more afraid of you if you open carried your Bible than if you open carried a gun.
Amen.
Amen. What's that guy going to say? What's this? I always thought it was funny, you know, when we had teachers back in the day, you know, who could put their Bible on their desk, you know. You know, they would come and walk in and put the Bible on the desk. It's like, it'd be just like you put a gun on the desk. It's like, the kids knew what they were in for. Dear God. Not one of those. Slam that Bible down on the desk. Janet, did you used to do that? You didn't? Well, okay. Look at verse 97 in Mem. It says, oh, how I love your law. Who could say that? Who could say that? I mean, you know, I mean, my goodness, you know. A lot of Christians are like, oh, how I... Man, I'm afraid of your law. Oh, God, I'm afraid of your law. No, David said, oh, how I love your law. I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. It's my meditation all of the day. Not because I'm scared of your law, and so I better, you know, it's like read it to make sure you don't break it. You know, most people, I want to make sure I know this law so I don't, you know, so I pass the test. Yeah, you know, Luke had a giant book to take his journeyman's electrician license, and I think he took the book with him everywhere he went, you know, to take that, and because he didn't want to mess up. You know, that's how people look at the Bible and the Word of God, you know, so I don't mess up, you know, so God doesn't get mad. No, but David says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day. Everything in there is what I love. Everything in your law is what I love. He says, let's look, if we look over in Psalm 1, verse 2. He said, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both day and night. So David has said this before, back in Psalm 1, very first psalm that he wrote. He said, it's my meditation day and night, day and night. Over, if you look over in Joshua chapter 1. I always love it when chapter 1 starts out that way, right? Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, there you go, shall not depart out of your mouth, But you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9 says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That comes right off of having meditated on that Word of God. Amen? It comes right out of there. Now, I want you to look up there back at verse 8, Joshua 1:8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. We're going to look at that again here a little further down in our reading today. You shall meditate therein and day and night that you may observe to do. Now, when we talk about observing to do, you'll remember that there is a word in the Hebrew called natar and another version of it called satar that is translated in English into the word keep, as if you're to keep the commandments, to keep the law, to keep your word. And that word to keep means to observe or to guard, as if something is like you're going to guard, like remember they had the guards out in the front of Jesus' tomb? What were they doing? They were guarding that tomb. Last thing they wanted was for Jesus to get out of that tomb, or somebody to come and steal the body. So they kept watch, and they guarded that tomb. They observed. They didn't take their eyes off of that tomb until they fell down as dead men, and the angel came by and rolled the stone away, and Jesus came out. So, but you're going to see, but to watch and observe and to guard this Word of God, to observe to do all that is written therein. Now, why are you doing that? So that God doesn't come down and kill you. Is that what Joshua said? Is that what the book, Joshua said here? Is that what God said here? No, he said, let's read it again. He said, You shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Well, sounds to me like there's a whole different purpose for reading and meditating on the Word of God than being afraid that God's going to come get you and beat you up. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I mean, you're afraid of God? No. My goodness. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on what? On the blessing. I'm going to miss out on the blessing. See, once you find out what God's Word says about how things work, life is just much better for you. Amen. It's much better. You can receive the gospel much better when you find out that God's not mad. You can receive the gospel much better when you find out that God's not out to destroy you and hurt you, kill you, and knock you over and make you do things that you don't want to do. There's reasons you don't want to do things you don't want to do. What is that? Sin. And what do you do? What happens to the sinner, by the way? What happens to the sinner who doesn't repent, who doesn't receive Jesus, or the grace of God and the mercy? Perish? They perish. That's right, they perish and go into hell. They perish and go into hell. So what's God's purpose in writing a law? To stop you. From what? Perishing. From perishing. Mm-hmm. Or in the vernacular, from going to hell. Amen. That's what the Word of God is about. It's to help you. It's not to hurt you. It's not to destroy you. It's not to cause you grief. It's to set you free and to bring you into a relationship with the living God who loves you and desires to do nothing but prosper and bless you and cause you to walk in peace and joy all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's go. Let's go with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, what? Well, he probably read it. He probably read Joshua 1:8. He was probably taught that. You know, he was probably. I mean, David was out there in the field, and the Word of God was on the inside of him. Jesse somehow taught his boys to worship God, and David got it. I don't know about the rest of the boys. You know, they decided they wanted to make money. You know, they were all there in the house, you know, when Samuel came by to anoint the new king, and none of them was the guy. And so Samuel's saying, you got any more kids? Well, you know, just one out in the shed, back out in the back, feeding the goats, feeding the sheep. And of course, David, you know, he had killed the bear. He had killed the lion. David was a man after God's own heart, even as a youngster. How did he get that way? Word of God. He trusted and believed that what God said he was going to perform. Amen? Isn't that you? So that's why we read these things. So let's just keep going. So David says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day." Now let's hear some of the what the Word of God produces here. Verse 98 says, "You through your commandments." Wait a minute. I didn't even see that when I was reading it. What's the first word in that 98th verse? You. He's talking to God. He said, "You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies." I love that. I just got that just now. Did you see that? Maybe y'all got that before I did. But he says, he's talking about you, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. Anybody want to cash that one in? Praise the Lord. You, through your commandments. So God's purpose in His commands or in His Word was to make you wiser than your enemies. So as you study the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, the testimonies, you see, because He talks about testimonies in here, precepts, He talks about statutes, He talks about everything that He has laid down and brought into our purview so that we can see it, and we can read it, and we can see what God has done, and we can hear about it, is that through all of that, you, God, my Father, through your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. They are ever with me, but I know that I have the best on them. Amen? Are you afraid of your enemies? Have you got enemies? I mean, you know, you got enemies, right? Everybody's got enemies. Yeah. Sometimes the first one's in your mirror. Amen? That's the worst one. Right there, the one in your mirror when you wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, my enemies have got me." No, that's you. That's an enemy right there. Yeah, I mean, when you believe your enemies have you and you're busy convincing yourself that your enemies have the best on you. That's not true. That's not true because you're born of God. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have the joy of the Lord who is your strength. And He is enjoying raising you up and causing you to see the goodness of God. Amen? Every day is the goodness of God. Every day is the goodness of God. Even when you have trouble, every day is the goodness of God. Here comes trouble. It doesn't trouble me. Amen? It doesn't trouble me. First of all, even if I die, what happens to me? Going to Jesus. I'm already in heaven. I'm already in heaven. Well, you hadn't had the problems I had. Well, I've had a few of my own. You know, I realize, you know, some of you may have had some others, you know, and that's true. But it doesn't matter. What matters is how do you receive the problem? How do you receive a problem coming at you? Is it by the Word of God? Is it because you're smarter than the average bear? No, it's because he, through His commandments, has made you wiser than your enemies. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, I don't care if you have calculated it out and got it calculated out on paper. He said, "You." So my testimony is that you, I'm talking directly to God, just like David did. David didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the enemy all the time like I do. You, Father, you, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. So I'm going to just declare that. So however anybody's going to try to get around the back of me and give it to me, I have the Holy Spirit to deliver me. Amen? And even if it looks like they did, they didn't. Even if it looks like I'm ruined, I'm not. Hallelujah. I don't believe I can be destroyed. Amen? And the same is true with you. And they are ever with you. My enemies, they're ever with me. They're not, it's not like they, you know, not like they're going away, not like, oh, when am I going to get rid of my enemies? No, they're all there. They're always there. Yeah, and an enemy doesn't have to be a person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. Amen? The scripture, the New Testament tells us that we're not wrestling against people. Even in politics, I'm not wrestling against people. That's why I'm not mad at anybody. Amen? You know, I mean, we got a lot of Christians who are in politics who are mad at everybody. No, I'm not mad at anybody. Because there is a devil, there's an evil one who is determined to destroy the people. Not just this nation, the people of God. The enemy is desirous to destroy the people of God. He's desirous to destroy this nation, which has been a light for these. But boy, this nation's been a mess here lately. Amen? So many of the folks, I mean, you got people who are voting in elections. Then you got people who neglect to. See, if God gives you the freedom to vote in an election, if you are the people and the people elect their own leaders and you neglect to elect, you know, woe to your nation. You know, work to get righteous people in office. That's wisdom. Amen. If you have, you know, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it's sin. Don't just write it off and say, well, you know, it's because you're lazy, or just because, you know, well, I don't believe God wants us involved in all that mess. Well, you have to hear for yourself. But I'm telling you, is that if you have an opportunity to do wisely and do righteously, and do it not, then that's sin. It's just what the Scripture says. So I'm encouraging you to be involved in your own government. In Iran, it's difficult to do that. They put them in jail. They put them in jail for that. And all over the world, if you were living in Venezuela there for, you know, until recently, you'd probably been put in jail for speaking up against the government. So, but what has been given to you is an opportunity to change whatever government you have, to transform it and to cause righteous people to be elected. And it's not that the people are perfect, they're not. But people who will support righteous legislation. All right? You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So I am wiser than my enemies. I'm not afraid, and I know, I'm not afraid that somebody knows more than me, or that they're smarter than me, or that they're better off than me, or they know more about governing than me. I have the Word of God. When Daniel came into the kingdom of Babylon, he was a wise young man, because he gave himself to God. Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they gave themselves to God, and they began to affect the way the government was run. I didn't intend to have a government sermon. But he's made you wiser than your enemies. In other words, the young Hebrews came in and began to transform the government of Babylon. They began to transform the government of Babylon because the wisdom of God is wiser than men. The wisdom of God is smarter than men. You know, Joseph came in and transformed the entire nation of Egypt. That Joseph is a Hebrew. He's a young man who believed in God, believed in the power of God, and transformed the nation, saved the nation. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 98 or 99, I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. The Word of God, His words, are my meditation. Therefore, my understanding is increased. Amen? I'm going to read one more verse, and then I want to read something to you that'll kind of give you some further understanding on it. I understand more than the ancients, more than the elders, because I keep your precepts. Now, the word keep is the same word we talked about before. It is not that I keep or I observe or I guard your testimonies. All right? I guard your precepts. Now, in Matthew Henry's commentary, I was reading through this, and I just wanted to share it with you a little bit, because what it opens up the idea, and Matthew Henry lived back in the 1700s, and he created a commentary on the Bible, and I enjoy reading this commentary because it's not a new commentary, number one. And but here, talking about these verses, for instance, out of verse 98 about his enemies, he says, "He outwitted his enemies. God, by these means, made him wiser to baffle and defeat their designs against him than they were to lay his designs. Heavenly wisdom will carry the point at last against carnal policy. By keeping the commandments, we secure God on our side and make him our friend. Therein are certainly wiser than those that make him their enemy. By keeping the commandments, we preserve in ourselves that peace and quiet of mind which our enemies would rob us of. And so are wise for our, and so are wise for ourselves, wiser than they are for themselves, and for the and for this world as well as for the other." Now about his teachers, "He outstripped his teachers, and he had more understanding than all of them." He means either those who would have been his teachers, who blamed his conduct and undertook to prescribe to him by keeping God's commandments, and he managed his matters so that it appeared in the event he had taken the right measures and they had taken the wrong, or those who would have been his teachers, the priests and Levites who sat in Moses' chair and whose lips ought to have kept knowledge, but who neglected the study of the law and who minded their honors and revenues and the formalities only of their religion. So David, who conversed much with the scriptures, by that means became more intelligent than they. Or he may mean those who had been his teachers when he was young. He built so well upon the foundation which they had laid that with the help of his Bible, he became able to teach them, to teach them all. He was now not a babe that needed milk, but had spiritual senses exercised, as in Hebrews 5:14. It is no reflection upon our teachers, but rather an honor to them to improve so as really to excel them and to not need them. By meditation, we preach to ourselves, and so we come to understand more than our teachers, for we come to understand our own hearts, which they cannot." In other words, your teacher can only give you so much because your teacher doesn't live in you. Amen? So, as they have put you on the path, then I understand more than my teachers about me, because the Word of God is changing me. The Word of God has now taken root on the inside of me. Amen? The Word of God is transforming me on the inside. The Word of God, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And that Word of God is transforming and changing you. It's doing surgery on the inside of you. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The Word of God does surgery. It transforms you. Amen? Yeah. You believe that? Yeah. You're not reading the Word of God just to make God happy. You're actually putting something on the inside of you that is changing your whole structure on the inside of you. Because the Word of God is the what? The Word of God is what? It's born of His Spirit. It's holy men of old wrote down the Word of God as they were moved by the pneuma, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And finally, I'm going to read about that the verse of the ancients there in verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." He outdid the ancients, either those of his day. He was young like Elihu, and they were very old, but keeping God's precepts taught more wisdom than the multitude of years, or those of former days. He himself quotes the proverbs of the ancients, but the word of God gave him to understand things better than he could do by tradition and all the learning that was handed down from preceding ages. In short, the written word is a surer guide to heaven than all the doctors and fathers, the teachers and the ancients of the church, and the sacred writings kept too, will teach us more wisdom than all their writings. So, what he's told you here is that this word of God is transforming you, both in respect to looking at your enemies, both in respect to looking at those who have taught you, and those who are your elders. It's because the word of God, you can't depend on me preaching. You can't depend on Pastor Jim preaching. You can only depend on receiving a teaching and then taking it to the Holy Ghost.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to take it to the Holy Ghost. You want to let the Holy Ghost meditate on this. You want to meditate on these things. What? Day and night. Let that be your meditation. What does a meditation mean? It means what you predominantly think on. Your meditation is what you predominantly think on. What do you predominantly think on? Do you predominantly think about your job? Do you predominantly think about your kids? Do you predominantly think about your wife, your husband, your grandkids, the news? Some of us predominantly. What do you predominantly think upon? What takes up most of your thinking time, your meditation time? Is it God's love and promise? Is it God's love and promise? Whenever a subject or an issue arises in your mind, where does your mind go to resolve that issue? Does it go to the promise, or does it go to how can I get a loan? How can I get around this problem? How can I convince this person that it's not what they think? Amen. Is what? How are you going to resolve this issue that comes up? Lord, thank you that you love me, and that all of my enemies, I'm wiser than all of my enemies, and I know all more than my teachers. Boy, sounds full of pride, doesn't it? Huh? No, it's a testimony. This is a testimony. It's a, you know, I know that God is with me and He's doing all these things. He's made me wiser than my enemies. Those teachers I used to depend upon. But I see they're kind of, some of them can be compromised. You know, the ones that got assigned to me. He was talking about the Pharisees and those, well, you know, because Jesus even said it, right? He says, do what they say, but don't do like they do. Do what they say, but don't do like they do, you know. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Now over in Job chapter 31 verse 1, Job makes this comment. And he says, as an example, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Is to refrain your thoughts from going to a place that is not helpful to walk with the Lord. In Job's case, obviously he may have had a lust problem that he recognized. Anybody got that? Well, you don't have to say, but I'll just say amen for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? I've already made a covenant with my eyes that I will refrain. I've refrained myself. My feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Not that I might not be judged and the Lord wouldn't come down and whack me with a 2x4. People love to say that, you know. Well, God, when He wants to talk to me, He's got to get a 2x4. No, He put Jesus on the 2x4. Yeah. Amen? Jesus, he put Jesus on a 2x4 just for you. He beat Jesus with that 2x4 just for you. Amen? So what he could do is come to you with his mercy. He wanted to come to you with his mercy. Amen. He wanted to come to you with his mercy. He wanted to bring that to you and open the door for you. So it says here that I have refrained my feet from every evil way so that I might keep your word. Because I know that to keep or to observe, to guard, to follow, to stay close to your word is what's going to be a blessing and a benefit to me. Amen? Especially if you're at Washington and Lee University. I mean, it's very prestigious. And, you know, or Hester's over there at the Dallas Baptist University. I'm sure that there's wonderful, all kinds of wondrous, wonderful things, you know, to be able to get into. Any place that has Christian on it, it's got all kinds of things you can get into. Texas Christian University, you know, praise the Lord. Yeah. All right, yeah. SMU, Southern Methodist University. Baylor University, glory to God. Yeah, yeah. Interesting things down there. You know what? You can't find a Christian university. You only can find Christian students. Amen. You don't have Christian universities. You have Christian people. Amen. People who love Jesus. There are professors down at Baylor. Wonderful people that love Jesus. I believe there's people at TCU that love Jesus. People at Dallas Baptist University love Jesus. Amen. You've got them everywhere. You got spies everywhere. You know, like Jericho. You know, they sent the spies in. You know, are you a spy where you work, where you live? Are you a spy? Amen. You're a spy, spying out the land. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. So in other words, is again, this is not about make and behave because Jesus will be happy with you and God won't be mad at you. It is you have a body and a flesh that when the opportunity comes to do evil, you say, Lord, thank you that you delivered me from that. Thank you that you delivered me from that. Amen. So you're, because you have the opportunity to obey God or you have the opportunity to not obey God.
That's right.
Amen. You have that opportunity right there at that moment. And so the opportunity to obey God is going to be a blessing to you. Say, I refrain my feet from evil that I might, what did it say? I'll make sure I get it right. That I might keep your word. See, once you get off into sin, you'll have the opportunity, you've taken your eyes off of the word. You've taken your observance and your guard down. You know, if the guards had left the tomb, you know, and gone off and had a coffee break, you know, or, you know, some pretty girl walked by and, you know, the guards, well, there's nobody around here to open that tomb. Besides, the rock is too big anyway, so I'm going to go over here and visit Susie. Not Susie, but Ethel. How's that? Anybody here named Ethel? And so, you know, so you're trying to get off and do that. He said, but you took your eye off the prize. Jesus didn't take his eye off the prize. Amen? Jesus kept his eye on you.
Amen.
Yeah, he kept his eye on the prize because he knew he saw what he was after. He was after you. He was his desire was after you. His desire was to didn't take his eye off the prize. His desire was to have you as his prize. Amen. So that's what I'm doing. I'm refraining my feet from evil so that I might keep your word. Keep my eye on the word. I have not departed, verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments. Remember Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not what? Depart out of your mouth. Don't say something that's going to abrogate your promise. Again, it's not like magic or something like that, but what it does is what you say begins to affect what you think. If you say it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what I'm saying to you is this, is that let not the word of God depart out of your mouth. What it means doesn't mean say it like here comes a word. What it means is let that be what's in your mouth. Let that be what comes out of your mouth. is don't let the word of God depart out of your mouth. Don't let something else come out of your mouth. Oh my gosh, we've lost it. It's all over. You know, everything's not going my way. No, say what the word of God says. Everything's going my way.
Amen.
Well, it looks like it's going again, you brother. No, everything is going my way. It's like I tell you, you know, how's everything going? Perfect, but I'm not looking. I'm not counting. I'm not looking. I'm not watching. Everything's going my way. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I have not departed from your judges, for you have taught me. I've been taught. If he teaches, I've been taught. You, back at that verse 98, you, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. He's taught me. I'm taught. I've been taught. If he taught me, I've been taught. Amen? Praise the Lord. I forgot that I was taught. No? Well, then just go back to this promise. See, all these things are promises, aren't they? All these things are promises, aren't they? John 13:10, first part says, Jesus said to him that is washed, needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every bit. Now I want to go back and look one more thing at this verse 101. I've refrained my feet from every evil way. What did Jesus say about the feet? The feet need to be washed. He washed their feet. Why? Because they were clean. So it's not the fact that you're unclean, it's just your feet get messed up. So I've refrained my feet from every evil way. I've refrained my feet. So keep your feet clean. Amen? Come back and wash your feet. When you sin, come back and wash your feet. When you mess up, come back and wash your feet. Amen? Don't let the mud cake on there and get up under your toenails and, you know, all that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, wash your feet. Get your feet washed. What do? You come in and let the Lord wash your feet. He'll wash your feet. You know that? Well, my feet are dirty. I walked outside. That's okay. Come on in. I mean, don't make it a chore. Just come on in that day. Don't wait a week. I mean, get your feet washed. All right? Psalm 17, verse 4. You like this one. By the words of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. How do you keep yourself from the path of the destroyer? By the words of his lips. By the words of thy lips, Psalm 17:4. By the words of thy lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. Whew. So powerful. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all of the day. Amen? So he said, verse 102, of course, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. You go back to Joshua 1:8. So verse 103, look at that. How sweet are your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words? In other words, his words aren't bitter to you. His words are not a tough pill to swallow. Amen. But his words are sweet. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, the judgments, all of those I've added to that. The law of the Lord is more to be desired than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So what's he talking about? the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. All of these things are sweet to me because I'm being transformed and changed because He loves me. How sweet are your words to my taste? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that true? Yeah. Amen. His words are sweet. His words are sweet. They're changing you, transforming you. Through thy precepts, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, because of that, because of the understanding, I hate every false way. They begin to change me. I'm changed now. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I hate every false way. When the false way comes up, I hate that. I hate that. The things that would take me out of His will. These are lies that they, and you recognize them immediately because those are the things that used to take up all your time and all your thinking. Amen? Because the enemy likes to have certain things that'll get your attention and get your goat. And they just kind of turn you around and turn you around and turn you around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just get caught up in that one thing or the other thing. Yep. Amen? Anybody? Yep. Everybody? I mean, He's got good ones. He's got good ones, you know, whether it's, you know, something really evil and wicked, like pornography or eating too many cookies or, you know, whatever, you know, or what? Amen. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. I love that. Isn't that great? Just playing. But no, you know, everybody's got one. Everybody's got one where the devil loves to just kind of get your favorite thing to get your mind off over in the ditch on either side. I mean, some people get off in the ditch of doing good works. Oh, man, how does that work? No, because you begin to get full of pride. You begin, well, you know, I'll just do a few Hail Marys. And I mean, we don't do those, and most of us don't do those, but I mean, you'll figure some way to do a Hail Mary. Amen. Won't you? You know, Clay, are there Baptist Hail Marys? Okay, see, asking an expert. His dad was the chief professor over there at the seminary, you know. And, you know, I mean, they teach about those things. They don't buy into them. They just teach about them, tell you to watch out for them. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. There's too many good works that'll just suck you down and cause you to, you know, think you're doing something for God. You're just doing it for you. Amen? Here, cover this pothole, you know, with, you know, some kind of good work. No, you just want to follow God. You just want to follow God. Let him show you what to do. Amen? Just let Him, it's like when Scripture, Jesus talked about, you know, where let your giving, let your alms be in private just before God, you know. If you're going to give something, give it in private. If you can love somebody, love them in secret. Just between you and them. You know, just love them and bless them. Don't make a trumpet out of what you're doing. Just follow the Lord. Just follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, now, last couple of scriptures here. Out of Psalm 104 where we read, or Psalm 119 verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So look at Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 49, 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So as we close, this particular section, "Oh, how I love thy law." It's my meditation all of the day. And how, if you, again, I want you to read through this again. Slowly. You know, don't read too fast. You need to take it slow. That's why we take it one verse at a time. It's called expository. Expose it. Open it up. It says, "You through your commandments have made me wiser." See what God has done through His Word on the inside of you. Amen? Praise God. This whole book, this whole psalm, is talking about the Word of God. But if you break it down, you begin to see how it's working on you and working on the inside of you to transform you and to change you. God's Word, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But by His Word, you've come to know Him. And you come to meditate on what He says a situation is about, rather than on it appears to be, what somebody else said, or what you in your experience believe. You want to hear the voice of God. And as you have the Word of God on the inside of you, it begins to speak to you daily and translate every circumstance and situation. You can find Matthew Henry online at just somewhere. You can Google it. And you can read over those particular verses again, the commentary there. Basically what it's telling you is that and what I'm sharing with you, is that these ways of talking about what God is doing through His Word is not something that He's forcing you to do, He's making you do, or He's making you do because He wants you to shape up. But it's because of what He's doing on the inside of you to transform and change you into His image. That's what the Word of God does. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote the New Testament. I've mentioned this before, is that Paul was full of the Holy Spirit, but he was also full of the Word of God. But the Word of God did not do him any good until the Holy Spirit came and revealed it. And as the Word of God is on the inside of you, He will reveal it. And the revelation takes place day by day. He may not give you here's a revelation, boom, that you can just, oh good, I can write that down and write a book on it and sell it. No, His revelations come to you so that you can walk in love. That's why His revelations come. He reveals the Word of God to you so you can repent, so you can walk in love toward your neighbor, and so you can declare the gospel. That's the simplicity of why the Holy Spirit comes and why the Word of God is here. It's here for you to demonstrate to you His love and so that the gospel comes out of you, just like it did out of Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament because the Word of God was attached to the Holy Spirit that came into him. Amen? So the same thing is true of you, is the Holy Spirit reveals the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word. Amen? All right. Father, we just thank You for the power of God, the Word of God this morning. We thank You that it's transforming us because, again, You through Your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And I understand more than the ancients because I observe and guard and keep Your precepts. So, Father, oh, how I love Thy law. It's my meditation all of the day. And we give You praise and thanks, Lord, that You're demonstrating and revealing to us every single day and making us brand new, changing us into Your image, from one degree of glory to the next, through this promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. a new creation redeemed. So let the world wonder what it is we have not seen yet still believe. And sing how long, how wide, how high is your love. Sing how God, I am what I am, a new creation redeemed. So let the world wonder what it is we have not seen yet.
Worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let us see. Let us see your grace and your mercy. So, Father, we give you glory as we depart this place. We thank you that our needs are supplied according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for our testimony, which is that we love you, not our lives to the death. That you are our Savior, you are our Lord. We are witnesses of this good news. So Father, today as we depart, we thank you that you're manifesting that and bringing it to pass in us. Father, we thank you for every need being supplied. Jobs, health, everything that we have need of. Family and relationships, that they're mended. Sins are forgiven. Father, we thank you that we are forgiving. First, we forgive. We thank you, Lord God, that we hold no offenses. We just let people go right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We just let people go right now. No matter what they've done, no matter what they've said, we hold no grudges. We let them go right now. Sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, employers, co-workers, church members, pastors, in the name of Jesus, we let people go. And we thank you that you are just working in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. You're causing us to walk as those who have received the goodness of God. Therefore, we give the same as we've received. So we glorify you and magnify you and give you praise. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.